Spirit, your anointing here today. Father, I pray the lives will be changed, transformed by the power of your Spirit. Father, we didn't come for an ordinary church service. We didn't come to be religious. We didn't come, God, just to put on a front, God. But Lord, we came because we need you. Father, and I pray, God, that you release it now in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory. And everyone says, come on, and everyone says, come on, say it, amen. Go ahead and take your seat. When you shout amen, that means that you agree. That means I agree. Amen. Give our worship team a good hand. They are rocking it. They are just putting in work right now. Amen. And so I am so blessed by them. Amen. They're doing such a good job. Our 9 a.m. was explosive, guys. I mean, it was explosive. And so I feel like we have a double portion here this morning, and I believe it's going to be explosive here today as well. I've been busy lately. I have been busy. I feel like I've been fellowshipping, just fellow lipping. I've been eating. I popped a button off my suit. I was like, I'm a mess. I'm done with tamales. I'm done with soups. I'm done with all that. I'm going on the 21-day fast. Come on, somebody. I was like, man, I've been fellowshipping, hanging out with fellowship last night. I flew out to speak at a winter retreat there in California on Thursday, came back Friday, and then Saturday, came back Friday night, Saturday morning, I had a chance to read a little bit, and had to head out, go help with a wedding, and then we had a fellowship last night. So at the end, I'm like, all right. I was happy because I was going to go home. Now I'm happy because I'm going home because all the girls moved out. Somebody say, praise God. The girls moved out. They have their own house now. Aaliyah has officially opened up her discipleship home. So all the girls are out. So I got open rooms. Amen. I got open facility now. I'm like, hey. So I was all blessed because I got my own room now. Somebody say, Pastor, you blessed. I thought so too. I was ready. I was ready. I went home. I was like, okay, me and Jesus, we're gonna go hide. Me and Jesus, my room. And I went to my room, and my wife was like, where are you going? Your cave? I was like, yeah, I'm going to my cave. Leave me alone, right? So I went in, got my Bible out, started playing worship music. I was like, dude, God is in this room, right? I was like, yeah, this. Thank you, Jesus, you got those girls out of here because I'm ready for your presence, right? I was ready to start studying, just finish this message. And about 3 minutes into just, like, the Holy Spirit starting to come in, I got a knock on the door. No, I didn't even get a knock. Somebody walked in. It was my daughter. And I was like, I thought you moved out. She walked in, and I was like, well, I haven't seen her in, like, over a week. So I was like, hey, baby girl, what's up? You know, it's just started hugging her, and she walks in, but she brought a pillow with her. Like, girl, we do a sleepover. This is my man cave. Get out. Me and Jesus, none, got nothing to do with you. She literally put the pillow on the floor, laid down. I was like, what are we doing here, right? I'm in the middle of God just downloading me the message of all messages. Guess who else came in? Some of you see my Instagram. My wife. I was like, cool. I mean, it's a lot, big house, 3 stories. Why this room? She sits down, puts her feet on my one desk that I have. I don't have nothing in the room but a desk and 2 seats. Sat down, put her feet on the desk. I go, oh, we fellowshipping now. Guess who else showed up? Jedi. But Jedi didn't come alone. He came with his toys. He came with his own chair, his scooter. I was like, good God, Lord, what are you doing right now? I was like, this is of Satan. This is not right. Devil, get behind me. I'm trying to get download from God, right? I'm still playing my music. I'm still trying to do it. Like, let me shut them out. Let me still read, right? I can't do it. Jedi's just on it. Guess who else showed up? Nathaniel. What y'all doing? This party don't belong here, right? All of a sudden, they're there for like, for a hot minute. If you study and you're like trying to get in it, there's anxiety that builds up and you're like, y'all got to go, right? All of a sudden, Joshua finds out that he's alone. Where's everybody at, right? He comes downstairs, and guess what? I got a full house in one room. I go, you guys don't got nothing else to do. They were all in there. I'm trying to study for you. And I'm like, man, get out of my room, right? All of a sudden, I already had the title of the message, but I started realizing, I was like, man, what a trip. So I stood there. I just chilled, kicked back. I said, well, when they go, they go. But I was like cool about it. Usually I'll snap and y'all got to go. Like, I'm trying to download something. Y'all got to go. But today I want to speak to you about the subject of your response is everything. Your response is everything here today. The way I responded was probably not your usual way, but I was chill about it. When they got out, I felt like God even gave me the message even faster than probably me just studying. But I believe it's because of my response to what was happening to the situation. I want to read Luke chapter 1, verse 38. I'm going to use this here today. I buckle your seatbelt because we're going to go on a Holy Ghost roller coaster. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, the Bible reads like this. And this is Mary responding to the angel of the Lord that showed up and told her that she was going to have the baby Jesus. And she responds in this way. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then the angel left her. I believe how we respond is everything. Mary's response to what God was telling her was everything at this moment. You ever heard the term first responders? When you hear that term first responders, it's basically a team of medically trained responders that arrive on a scene either to an emergency, an accident, natural human disaster, or similar event. But mainly it's like either police or it's other law enforcement. It could be firefighters, emergency medical services, or whatever the case may be. But they respond to tragic events. They're called first responders. And as they respond to the event or they respond to the emergency, they don't have time to think about everything. They just have to respond. And their response is everything. And here today, I believe that God is looking for first-time responders. People that respond to what he's telling you that he wants to do within your life. Can somebody say amen? Whenever there was a need that arose, God would always raise somebody up to fill that need. When he looked throughout the Word of God, whenever there was a need, God would raise somebody up. When you look at the walls of Jerusalem, God raised up Nehemiah to build the walls, right? When you think about the Goliath that was standing before the God's people, God raised up a little shepherd boy in the field and said, I'm going to anoint that boy because there's a need. There's a Goliath that needs to fall down, and I'm going to choose him to meet that need. When you think about the Apostle Paul, there was a need for the Gentiles to also receive salvation. So God said, I'm going to pick the sinner of all sinners. I'm going to pick the guy that persecutes the Christians. I'm going to raise him up so that he can bring the good news to the Gentiles. Some of you Gentiles need to say glory to God for that one. Also, when the flood and God was done with the world, he had to raise somebody up to say, I'm looking for somebody that is righteous that I could raise up to build an ark so that he can save mankind. So we looked at Noah and raised Noah up. When you think about the apostles were raised up, the 12 apostles were raised up to spread the good news throughout the world. When you think about Mary, Mary was chosen. Mary was also chosen to give birth to the Savior. Somebody say, chosen by the Master. When I think about it, the Master has chosen certain people throughout the Word of God, has chosen certain people to do spectacular things or great things for His honor and His glory. And here we see Mary, she was chosen by God to bring birth into the Messiah. See, God don't make mistakes. Some of you think you're a mistake here today. He does not make mistakes. The reason why you're here is because He hasn't made a mistake yet. He is someone that understands that there's needs, and I'm going to raise people up, and those needs will be met by the people I choose. He knows who He's choosing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says this: Before I knew you, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He was saying to Jeremiah, before you were even thought of, before you even existed, I already knew about you. And what He was telling Jeremiah, that I am calling you. I already had called you before you even existed. Before you were even here, there was something placed upon your life. I set you apart. I put you apart because there was something specifically that you were supposed to do here on earth. And He looks at him, and when I think about when He's choosing him, sometimes people have problems when God chooses you, because sometimes you look at your current capacity and you say, where I'm at right now doesn't see where I can't see myself where God sees me, right? Sometimes we act that way. We're like that. But I say that here this morning, it does not matter what you feel here today. I feel that most of you here today, you have to understand that God is calling you and He's choosing you here this morning. He's choosing you for a purpose. You may not see it right now, but I'm here to tell you there's a purpose behind why you're here. He is choosing you. You may not feel like the greatest person here right now. You might feel like a mess up. You might feel like you don't got it all together. You might feel like, why me? Right? But I'm here to tell you, God has chosen you because He knows who you can be. He's choosing you here this morning. When He chose Jeremiah, Jeremiah looked at himself and said, I don't know if that's me. But I'm here to tell you, God don't look for where you're at. He looks to where you're going. When I look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says this: One day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon and also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing their net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. Jesus called them and said, Come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, when you think about what Jesus is doing, Jesus saw these two guys fishing. They were just living life, doing their career. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and He looks at them and He says, I'm going to make them fishers of men. Were they fishers of men then? No. They probably didn't even see everything Jesus sees. So when God calls you, He doesn't call you for your current capacity. He calls you for your future capacity. When God is calling you here this morning, and some of you feel the call of God, some of you are feeling something inside when you come into the building, you feel like, God, what are you trying to do in me? And you look at yourself and say, there's no way I can ever do that. There's no way. But He says, I don't make mistakes when I choose people. You may not see yourself doing it now, but God didn't call you for your now. God called you for your future. Oh, I need somebody to get excited about that. When God looked at Gideon and He chose Gideon, Gideon didn't see it in himself. When He looked at Gideon, Gideon was hiding. Gideon was in the wine press. Gideon was like, there's no way that God is going to use me. What did the angel show? The angel showed up and said, mighty warrior, mighty man of valor, I'm calling you. And all of a sudden, Gideon had a moment. What was that moment? That moment was he had to face his current capacity and look at God's capacity and say, God, you're calling me to another level. Is there anybody that's ready to go to another level? Most of us, we don't understand that God is choosing you because you feel like he's choosing you right where you're at. God's choosing me right here. I'm a mess. You're right. You are a mess. You're all messed up. I'm messed up. But regardless of what, he's calling you. And he's saying, I'm not seeing what you're seeing now. I see you. Maybe you might be fishing. You might be doing your little hobby thing. But I'm calling you to follow me. If you follow me, I will make you into the person that I've always seen for you to be. Somebody say, respond. When you think about that, he has chosen us. See, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that your Father will give you everything you ask in my name. Somebody say, he doesn't make mistakes. Come on, say it with me. Say, he doesn't make mistakes. You, my friend, are not a mistake. You didn't come and say, I choose God today. No, my friend. God said, you didn't choose me. I chose. Oh, help me preach. Some of us say, I finally came to God. No. You probably finally surrendered, but he's been calling you. Right? He chose you. You didn't choose him. So when you understand that I was picked to be on his team, there must be something valuable on the inside of you that he wants you on the team. I don't know if you've ever been picked last, but it don't feel too good sometimes. But as long as you got picked, hey, it don't matter what position I play, I'm on the team, right? You know, on Turkey Day, I'm telling you, I've been eating too much. Thanksgiving, we had some of the young guys and some of the men got together. They did a little turkey bowl, right? They went out there. I was out there like, just playing around, messing with them. But they were going to the last three. And I've been there before because I'm little, but they don't know we pack a lot of punch, right? But there was about two guys. It was Gio and another guy. I was like, Gio, dang, bro. You need to hit that gym a little bit more, right? And Gio got picked, and there was one more guy that was left. I said, man, I know what that feels like, but at least he got picked on the team, right? So he got picked on the team. And he was on the team, and they assigned him to be quarterback. I said, oh, okay, quarterback, right, Jess? Remember that? And this guy, he's like, I'm like, this dude's an all-star. He's just throwing bombs. Touchdown. I was like, this dude, first throw? Right? All of a sudden, what? This dude's killing it. Looking like Jimmy G out there, right? I had to throw it in there. But he's out there doing it. And I was like, man, they looked at the outer appearance. And they said, this guy, we're going to pick him last. They should have picked that cat first. He was making touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And I was like, this dude is bad. I bet you next time they're going to pick him first, right? But sometimes it's funny because we look, man chooses people by the, right? That's what the Bible says, that man chooses on the outside. So when we think we're going to raise somebody up, we think, well, I'm going to look at them on the outside. No, God is the one that raises. And if you haven't been raised up lately, maybe because God doesn't see something on the inside of you yet. Let that sink. Right? But when he chooses a man from the inside, not from the outside. So some of us here today, you got to know if he's choosing me from the inside, then he must see something great on the inside of me. I might not be all that bad because on the outside of me, I look a wreck. I barely put my eyebrow on this morning. Come on, somebody. But when you look at yourself with God's eyes and say, God, you are calling me. You are doing something in my life. It's not me that's choosing this, but it's you that's choosing me. Then, my friend, something happens on the inside of you. You start believing a little bit more. You start saying, God has more for my life. And you do what God has called you to do. Are you getting something here today? So when you think about it, it's not so much the call that goes out. Because I've said it before, the call goes out. God has no problem giving his call out. Many of you have experienced the call of God. You've been to conferences. You've been at this altar. Right? I've seen you guys. Come on, don't act like, oh, God, I'm holy. Yeah, right. I've seen you guys. You're crying. I was like, man, God's touching that, brother. I'm going to go over here. Right? You come over here, you're crying. You're like, snotty. Right? But you feel the call of God in your life. You feel it. You're like, God spoke to me. Some of you are like way down here. God spoke to me. You do all that. But, you know, the call goes out. But what's the problem? The response. God will call you. But the problem is how we respond to what he's trying to deposit into our lives. A lot of us, we're not responding the right way. So he keeps trying to call you. He keeps trying to say, you've been called, but our response is not the same. Our response sometimes is slow. Our response sometimes is on a very slow. So what we need to do is we need to understand how to respond. Now, I want to talk to you about a few people that God called and how they responded. I think this is going to help some people out today. I really believe this is going to help you out. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:6, we just read about Jeremiah. It says this, when God had told him before you were formed, all that stuff, right? I have a place of calling upon you. This is what he says in Jeremiah 1:6. Are you ready? It says, O sovereign Lord, I said I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Shut the front door. What's going on here? What is happening? Do you see his response? God is saying, boy, before you were born, I even knew you. Now all of a sudden, you don't believe me and you say, I'm too young. You know what that response stands for? I believe that's the response of, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. Many of us respond to the call of God and to what God's trying to do within our lives this way. It's not the right time. I'm too young. I got too much going on. You should have called me last week because last week I was doing heck of good. This week I'm horrible. You ain't calling me this week. Come on. Oh, y'all holy. Y'all. 10 o'clock is holy, Pastor Rich. Hey, y'all, whatever y'all did. No. I know some of y'all say, it's not God's timing. It's not God's time for me. You know, when I grew up, I was like one of them guys that, I was a church kid. How many church kids we got in here? Oh, okay, God bless you. I know one. Being a church kid, you're around church a lot, right? You're around church a lot. You just, it's what we do. We know how to say amen. We leave the church and we cuss, right? You know how to dress good, right? You leave the church and now you barely got clothes on, right? Church kids stuff. Church kids are the worst. So growing up in church, look, little boys. Little cruises right there. Growing up in church, I remember, you know, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do me, right? How many said that? I'm going to do me. And I said, I'm going to get saved when I'm 30. I don't know why, but that was a good number for me. 30 was a good one. I was like, I'm 30. I'm going to surrender it all, Lord. And then I had this little Puerto Rican. Little Puerto Rican named Carmencita. The time I wasn't saved, church kid, right? My brother-in-law was a youth leader. They were doing a Christmas play called A Thug's Life. I don't know how that meshed, but it did. Thug's Life at Christmas, right? And they're doing this play, so he would bring me to the practice. I was sitting in the back, and Carmen was there. She was already saved. She was already saved 2 years. And she was a Holy Ghost, like she was like spirit-filled girl. And she would go back there. She was like, hey, you know, when are you going to give your life to the Lord? I said, when I'm 30. And I left it like she left me alone. The next practice, she would come back. Hey, so, you know, when are you going to give your life to the Lord? I think she had the eye out for me. She wanted me to give my life to God so that we could, you know, hook up. It worked. It worked. She got me. I would tell her 30. She kept doing every practice. Like, man, leave me alone, right? Finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to give my life in January, okay? Just leave me alone, right? Like, finally, I was like, okay, enough. I just threw it out there. The New Year's, okay, bye. I left it alone. A couple weeks went by. I think a week went by. Totally forgot about the conversation. I'm in a 1972 Datsun. If you don't know what that is, it's just like a two-seater. It's just two doors, hatchback, all engine, right? I'm in there with my brother-in-law. We just had our New Year's party. It's like late at night or early morning. I can't remember. It's like a blur. But all I do remember is this, is that I'm in the car, and all of a sudden, you know when you don't want to cry and you're like, you're like, the song is playing, and God starts like showing up in a car, in a vehicle, in the car. And all of a sudden, I started tearing up, and I was like, something is happening right now. What is happening? And God's presence filled the car. I started crying. My brother-in-law saw me. He was like, he didn't want to look. He didn't want to interrupt the moment. I could not stop crying. And I go, man, I think God's calling me. Bob, I'll give my life to God. Really? Yeah, really, man. He led me to the Lord. But I'll never forget those moments that I felt God's presence come into my life. But I responded to the call of God. I responded to salvation. I responded in a way where God, I feel you. I know you're here, God, so I'm surrendering. A couple weeks later, Carmen comes by. My beautiful wife now. Hey, did you get saved? I totally forgot about the conversation. But I'm here to tell you, God heard what I said even when I didn't think I meant it. He heard it. And His Spirit was right on time. So don't ever think that you're out of time. It is God's timing for your life when He shows up. Don't ever think that, oh, it's not the right timing. My friend, it's always God's timing. If I didn't get saved when I was 16 years old, my friend, I don't know where I would be today. I might have missed the timing of God, but thank God that I was able to fall flat on my face and say, God, I need your presence, because there was a church that needed a pastor that said, it's the timing of God. I don't know when you know it's the timing of God. And you respond the right way, God starts moving. God starts accelerating things because it's His timing. Don't ever think I'm out of God's time. It's not the time. No, if God is pricking at your heart, if God is trying to touch you, God is trying to do something now in your life, it is God's time for you. You don't know what appointment you have in the next 5 years. Maybe you have a country to go to. Maybe you have a city to take. Maybe you got something to do for God's honor and God's glory. I don't know, but don't miss the appointment. Some of us, we're missing the appointment way too much. You're getting sicker and sicker and sicker because you keep missing the appointment. Ooh. When you go to the doctor, they set your appointment for you. If you don't show up, reschedule. And if you don't, yeah, and they charge you. And if you don't show up again, reschedule. Some of you have been living a life of rescheduling. You've been rescheduling God's plan, rescheduling God's purpose, rescheduling, saying it's not time, it's not time. Give me another week. Give me another year. Let me heal a little bit. My friend, the time is now to do what God has called you to do. We need some people to respond. Oh, I'm preaching better than you clapping. Hey, it's time to respond. I really thought it wasn't that time, but God, look at what God did. When I got here, we knew it was God's timing. We knew it was God's timing. We just meshed together. We started trucking. We started moving because we knew it was the timing of God. The timing of God was this. It was such a good timing that immediately God opened the door for this building. Immediately, people already started feeling like a connection with us. That's God's timing. Don't miss God's timing. For some of you, this is God's timing to be in this church right now in this season. This is God's timing for you. It's not by chance that you're here. I'm here to tell you, it is God's timing. God has more for your life. Can somebody say praise the Lord? I don't know who I'm preaching to, but response is everything. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah also responded. I spoke about Zechariah a couple weeks ago. I spoke about him having a promise. And when that promise came, this is what he said. He said, an angel showed up to him too. He said in Luke chapter 1, verse 18, it said, Zechariah said to the angel, "How can you be sure this will happen? I'm old now, and my wife is also well along in years." In other words, an angel comes in and tells her, "You're going to have a baby." Now, when you're old, things don't work the same as they used to, right? I'll leave it like that because my boys are here. But he's old now, right? And what is his response to what God is telling him? His response to what God is telling him is this: how can you be sure this will happen? You know what that response is? That is a response of that God cannot do the impossible. We serve a God of the possible. But when we respond in a way like, how can this happen? Some of you look at your life right now and say, there's no way it's going to happen. There's no way I can do that. There's no way I can fulfill God's plan. You might be there in a place of, it's impossible for God to use me. I'm here to tell you, God works in impossible situations and turns it around and makes it possible. I'm here to tell you that God is able to do it within your life. Don't respond like Zechariah. Zechariah responded in a way of, this is impossible. Yeah, right. Many of you have responded in that way when God has spoken to you, when God has told you that you're going to be greater than what you are right now, when God has told you certain things about your life, you respond, that's impossible. My friend, you need to rise up in some faith and say, all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Could somebody say amen? When I look at Moses, Moses responded weird too. Moses responded in a way where God was calling him to go and deliver his people. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says this. It says, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt," or people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, "Who am I that I should appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt?" A lot of us here today, we respond this way as well. When God is telling you he has purpose and plan and he wants to use your life, we respond in the way that Moses did. Moses protested. He was out there with his little sign, "I won't go. I won't go. I'm not going," right? He's out there protesting. And what he tells God is this. He says, who am I that I should go? In other words, this response is a response of limitation. When Moses looked at himself, all he saw was limits. All he saw was what he can't do. All he saw, there's no way that God can use me. And all he did was live in those moments of limitations. And I believe that many of us, we are living or responding in a way of limitations. Now, Moses was a mess. Moses was someone that fled Egypt. He lived in the desert. How many have a past? I said, how many have a past? His past was messing with him. His shortcomings was messing with him. He killed an Egyptian. He blew it. He fled. He married somebody. Now he's a sheep. He watches over sheep. He's out there in the wilderness being a weirdo. Same thing for us. We have a past. We're all messed up. But just because you have a past, don't limit yourself to your past. Don't limit yourself to what you used to do. Because what I said a moment ago, when God calls you, he doesn't call you to your current capacity. He calls you to a greater capacity. So when God was calling Moses, Moses couldn't see it within himself, but God seen other things inside of him that Moses could not see for himself at the moment. Some of you today, all you see is what you see in the mirror. My friend, turn the mirror around and say, God, I want to see you in the mirror. I want to see your presence in the mirror. I want to see that you could use my life. Can somebody say amen? It's time to respond without limitation. God is not limited. God can do it through your life. God can use your life here this morning. How many believe that? What about Paul's response? I love this response. Paul responds when God gives him this call. He responds in this way in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. It says, so we decided to leave to Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news. I want to look at this response because this is a response of urgency. When Paul responded to the call of God, he didn't respond with limitation. He didn't respond with doubt. He didn't respond with hesitation. He didn't respond with fear. He didn't respond with any of those things, with insecurity. He said, I have concluded that it is God that is calling me, and I have a sense of urgency on the inside of me to do what God has called me to do. Is there anybody with some urgency here today that says, God, I want that spirit of urgency? There's people dying that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people that are lost in this holiday season, and all they are looking for is somebody with some urgency to let them know that Jesus is able to set them free from bondage. We need some people with urgency. Imagine if this church had some urgency this morning. Imagine if we woke up this morning with urgency saying, I don't know who might pass away today, so I better get on the phone and start letting people know that God is able to set them free. The Bible says that tomorrow's not promised for anybody. So you look around this room and say, so-and-so's not here. Man, that should hurt your heart. That should hurt you to say, man, I should have called him. Why? Because you know that people need to be sitting in this room listening to this message right now, experiencing what you're experiencing. Can somebody say amen? We need a spirit of urgency. Imagine if this church had urgency. Oh my God. There would be no room for us. We would literally do 4 services on Sunday morning because a sense of urgency has hit the church. A sense of urgency to build your ministry. A sense of urgency to fulfill the call of God. A sense of urgency to preach. A sense of urgency to say, God, you are calling me now. Urgency. Urgency. I remember one day I was pumping gas, and the Lord was tugging at my heart. There was a guy with some braids across from me. He was pumping gas too. And the Holy Spirit said, go over there. Let them know about me. You ever fight that? This ain't God. I got $3 a pump still, right? I'm pumping gas. Spirit of God was just hitting my heart. Hitting my heart. I go, okay, I'm going to go. All right. I went over there. And I went over there and started telling him about God, telling him about Jesus. Jesus was set them free. God can do things in your life, right? Left it alone. Walked away. I said, okay. I did what I had to do, right? Walked away. A month later, I walked into the church. You ever do a double take? Like, what they doing here, right? Oh, come on. Some of you did double takes. You're like, I would never thought he would be in the church. Oh, my God. Right? Like, there's no, how does he, why is he here? Right? I owe him money from the world. Double take. I walked in. And I did a double take. I looked at the home. I did a double take. I was like, wait. That's the guy I witnessed to. That's a month later. That's the guy I told about Jesus. The Holy Spirit said, see, you just need to be urgent to just listen to my voice and let me do the rest. I think some of us here this morning, we just need to let God use us in a way that we just say, man, I'm just going to be obedient. If it's just telling somebody, hi, good day, Jesus loves you, that's it. Let God do the rest. Let God do the rest in your family. Let God do the rest in your workplace. Let God do the rest. I love about what I just shared a moment ago about, what's your name again? Amber. I'm sorry. I'm getting like, I'm everywhere right now. I love that. Why? She just invited her to church and God did the rest. Some of us, the first step of urgency is just invite somebody to church and say, man, let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. I think about Isaiah. Isaiah invited Gilbert and his wife for years. He finally came in a moment of I'm surrendering, and all of a sudden, God did the rest. I'm here to tell you, we need a spirit of urgency within our church to say, God, I am willing to do whatever you call me to do. And he's going to do the rest. Now back to Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary's response is this. The baby Jesus is about to come. And Mary's response is this. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. Then the angel left her. When I think about Mary's response was a response that my life is not my own. My life ain't my own. Do whatever you want, God, because my life was worthless. My life was going nowhere. I had no purpose. I had no future. But until you interrupted my miserable life, all of a sudden you have turned things around in me. Her response was, my life ain't my own. Man, all my life, since I was a young boy, I would say yes to whatever God is calling me to do. I would say yes. They told me, hey, you want to be a part of the gang? Yes. Okay. Hey, you want to preach? Yes. Didn't know how to preach, but I said yes. Right? Want to clean the toilet? Sure, why not? Give it a shot. Right? You want to usher? Yeah, I'm going to usher. Right? My first suit was baggy. Looked like weirdo, right? Just looked weird. I actually have a picture when I used to usher. I was like, good God. Never going to show that picture. But I said yes. Whatever God had in front of me, I would say yes. There was no no's. There was never like, let me pray about it. Yes. What do you got to pray about? He rescued you. He saved you. He delivered you. There's nothing to pray about. I'm going to do everything God has asked me to do. I'm going to say yes. So whatever it was, I would say yes. I know Pastor Richard and them that have been around. We said yes. It's not that you're yes people. We just say yes to the will of God. We just say, yeah, whatever it is. They told me to come over here. I said, yes. They told me to go over there. Yes, I'll do whatever. I'm going to do it. Why? Because my life was never my own. When God rescued me, he put his my life wouldn't be nothing without God. So now that I'm here in God's presence and God is doing what he's doing, man, I can't help but to say yes. There is more in store for this church behind your yes. There is more in store for your life behind your yes. Some of you, God wants you to open up a life group come in January. You better say yes. God wants to raise you up to be a leader. Some of you better say yes. God wants to raise you up to be a pastor. Say yes. He's not calling you for where you're at. He's calling you to where you should be, my friend. If he would have showed me all this, I would have said no. But I said yes to the first step. Then I said yes to the next step. Then I said yes to the next step. Then I said yes to the next step. And all of a sudden, here I am in Mesa, 20-something years later, still saying yes to the promises of God. Respond. Mary's response was that, I'm going to respond. My life is not my own. I'm almost done. I literally almost done. Just a couple more things. You know what we're saying, what Mary said yes to? Mary said yes to this. Mary said yes to carry the Spirit of God. She said, yeah, you could use me. Use me to carry God's Spirit. And I believe the same thing that God has asked of Mary, he's asking many of you here today. Just be a carrier of his Spirit. Just carry God inside of you. When you carry the Spirit of the Holy Ghost inside of you, my friend, there's moments that you could release the Spirit of God on somebody's life. You got to be carriers of the Spirit of God, releasing the Spirit into people's lives and letting them know that the gospel still works, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm here to tell you, some of us, we need to just let that go. Let the Spirit of God move through your life. Let him move through your life. I believe many of us here today, we need to be carriers of the Spirit. We need to release the Spirit of the Lord. We need to release it. Don't hold it back no more. Don't hold it back no more. Let your response say, God, here I am. Whatever you want to do in my life, all I am is a carrier of your Spirit, and I'll release it wherever I go. Release it at your workplace. Release it at your family's house. Release it when you go into prayer and start praying for people. Release his Spirit. You know another thing I tripped about this? It talks about Mary. When Mary was chosen, this is what the Bible says, that it says, the Gabriel came, appeared to her, and said, greetings, favored woman. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. A couple verses down, it says, don't be afraid, Mary, right? The angel of the Lord told her, for you have found favor in God. You have found favor with God. The reason why he chose her is because he found favor with her. The reason why you're sitting here today is because God has favor on your life. God has favor. Why out of everybody in your family you are here? Why? Why out of all your friends that you used to get high with, mess around with, why you? Why did you end up in the home? Why are you still here? Why didn't you OD? Why didn't you end up in that prison? Why? Why? Because you have found favor with God. He's choosing you. You know, the trippy thing about favor is this. Many people think about favor. They say favor ain't fair, right? That's what they say, right? Favor ain't fair. I think I shared about Carmen. She has this favor anointing about parking spots, like, I love rolling with her. If I drive with my wife, she will get a parking spot right in front of any building. So you're anointed, sister. But we think that's favor. We think favor is blessings. Oh, I'm favored. I walk into my job, I got a raise, I'm favored. When you think about favored in this story, let me break this down. When you think about favor in this story, the Bible says that the angel showed up and told her, Mary, you're favored. Now you would think, oh shoot, I'm gonna get blessed, right? But you know what she was favored for? She was favored for service. Some of you missed it. She wasn't favored just to receive a blessing. She was favored to be used of God for service. Heaven looked down upon her and said, that's the one that I want to use for service. Some of us, we just want favor just to be blessed. No, my friend, favor is there so that God can use your life. Some of us, when we pray for favor, we need to just pray, God, I want favor so you could use me. I want favor so you could pour an anointing on me. God, I want favor because I want to do greater things for your honor and your glory. Give me the favor. Give me the favor. That's what favor does. My prayer almost every day is, God, give me favor with you. Give me favor with people so that I can do more for your honor and your glory. Why do I want favor? I want favor because if I find favor with him, I find blessings as far as the anointing of God, the power of God, the goodness of God. Whatever door the enemy shuts, God will open it because I got an anointing upon my life. Mary was chosen. Mary was favored. But Mary responded. Some of us, we need to respond today and say, man, I didn't expect this for this Christmas service, but I feel something on the inside of me saying, God, you have more for me today than you did yesterday. Some of you woke up today, just needed this word. Some of you woke up today because you're like, I need to respond. I've been sitting on the sidelines. I've been waiting for the time is right moment. I'm here to tell you the time is right now. Stop waiting. Find favor with God. When you find favor with God, he's going to pour a special anointing upon your life like never before. How many want that? How many want to respond the way Mary did? My life ain't my own. God, where would I be without you? Man, I would be a mess. It's time to respond like Mary did. My life ain't my own. Here I am. I'm ready to surrender. If that's you today, if God has ministered to you, I want you to come to this altar. God is going to speak directly to you. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Come respond. Come respond. Come on, lift those hands. Make room, make room. God's going to move here this morning. It's time to respond. Your response is everything. Yes. Come on, that's it. Hey. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Don't delay it anymore. No matter what the cost, yes, I will answer the call. Come on, some of you needed this word this morning. Some of you needed this today. Jesus. Oh. No matter I will answer the call. Yeah.